I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I am here with all of the tools today. And it's a sunny Saturday afternoon here at Dodgers Stadium. Vin Scully here to bring you the Los Angeles Dodgers.
That's pretty good. Oh, man.
Hey, how's everyone doing today? We're here. We made it. It's another show. I feel this is kind of a lot. This is kind of our last of our off-season coverage until training camp starts again. We're going to have some fun stuff coming in the next couple weeks, more out-the-box stuff, some interesting stuff. But this is what we brought to you. We've really gone a whole off-season here. Brandon bringing us just the greatest off-season packet of what's been going on that I've ever seen. It's got everything in there, from draft coverage to fantasy nuggets to usage to it's been a fun offseason, boys. We made it. We're 53 days out from the kickoff.
How wild it's been that? Quick too. Super quick. Right? Real super quick.
Sorry, I had to throw a cat out the way. Just walked in, stood in front of my microphone. Nasty Nate Parker, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. I'm here not to make any controversial comments or piss anybody off this week.
No. That's your part. That's why you were hired, bro.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Nice. There we go. CSPN McLaughlin.
What'd it do?
What it do, yo? How you doing?
Hey, man. I can't complain. I'm blessed. Woke up this morning.
Blessed. We're talking about some controversial things today. You ready for it? You got some takes?
Yeah. I practiced them in the mirror last night.
Yeah, I knew after some stuff that came out this week, you were going to have some things to say. Brandon Lundberg, coach.
What's up, man? Woody? I'm just, I want to say right now, anybody listening, I need you to vote for that added flex position. We can keep kickers and defense.
Out? Can we cut that out, please? I don't want to pander to assholes, they ain't supportive. Like,
hey, downside,
we're in the league with them, hey, but like,
no, downside. No, I'm good. You're the editor is the one making this pitch.
No, we gotta leave all of this in.
It's all in
a public episode.
That's fine. I mean, they are not a supportive bunch. They be taking shots at people for trying at something. Like, they're toxic.
It's fine. Let them hate. We want them to listen. We should be posting it in there every week.
And they probably don't. So, oh, shout out to Ty. He's the only real one. He called me with notes.
Did he really?
Sound like Ty.
That's awesome, though, man. Hey, that's if there's anybody listening, that's the one you want, and he probably knows the most people. All the rest of them.
Dwayne Haskins, back in the league. Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's gonna be beep beep beep.
Pittsburgh Steelers. They picked up our man Dwayne Haskins. And he was cut, obviously, from the Washington football team. And the man is not, he did not look good, nor did he look like he tried. Looked like a poor man's Jamarcus Russell. he did not look good. He's not as fat as Jamarcus, but he looked just as slow and just as bad a quarterback.
I think Haskins has some promise. He had some outings that weren't horrible. He's a great arm.
He's got a good
arm. Decent. Now, I think if he kind of, you know, spends more time in the film room and not the script club, I think he'll do all right. Because, he did decent, and he wasn't really studying. And look, just imagine if he ended up in Atlanta or Miami. Because the clubs in D.C., they not like that, you know. And, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, Atlanta, Houston or something, oh, my gosh, he'd be out the lead right now.
Well, just tell him to make sure not to go to the club with big men, because
yeah, we know how that's gonna end up.
This is Ben Roethlisberger. He's your mentor.
Sorry, Dwayne, but you're gonna be our fall guy tonight.
Yeah. And then he cops the charge that Ben got off.
Of course, you know how it goes.
I can see Dwayne.
Oh, go ahead, Brandon.
No, I was just going to throw out there. I could see Dwayne potentially taking that job.
So, I mean, obviously they look at Dwayne as someone who has enough talent that they feel that their culture might be able to let him put some roots in, grow. I mean, with that wide receiver core, who knows? He could, honestly.
Your OC is a college guy, so no. Yeah.
But does he want to be there? Because that's the thing that stopped him in Washington. It wasn't the talent. He's got the talent. We saw him perform at a high level. It was, does he want to be there? Does he want to put in the work?
He doesn't have a choice.
As far as the we've seen the talent, like sample size at OSU, I'm not a believer in Dwayne Haskins. In fact, I might go as far to say comparing him to Jamarcus Russell is an insult to Jamarcus Russell.
Jamarcus was nice in college.
Jamarcus Russell was a significantly better college quarterback, and like they both have similar NFL acumen at this point.
I wouldn't go. Look, Jamarcus Russell is probably the biggest bust outside of Ryan Leaf in NFL history. I don't know if I want to go that far with Dwayne Haskins. I mean,
that's true. Dwayne fell in the draft for a reason. You're right there.
You want to know what's funny about? Yeah, and the Washington still went up and got him. That's how you know that franchise is doomed. But on another note, freaking FedEx guys. No wonder they can't deliver packages right. Isn't it crazy?
I'm more of a what does Brown do for you guy myself.
It's crazy to think that, like, so I know CJ mentioned Ryan Leaf and Jamarcus Russell. I'd argue that Sam Bradford is a bigger bust than all of them. He got paid probably 5 or 10x what they got paid over the course of his NFL career. Yeah, because he kept landing
contracts. That's not a bad thing.
His rookie deal. Sam Bradford is the reason that they modified the rookie max contract. That's why.
Barely heard that toilet flush there, see.
Thanks.
Xavier Howard, but no, I see what you're saying, Nate. Xavier Howard, holdout headed to trade consideration. Solve this issue? Xavier Howard, the cornerback?
Close. That's an N at
Xavier.
The end.
But... Right?
It's Xavian.
It's Xavian?
Man. Yeah. Now, look, and everybody, if you're listening and Woody's defense, when he spells Aaron Rodgers in our fantasy chats, he spells it without the D. He spells Rodgers without the D. So, I mean, at least you're fair.
Yeah. But I'm just dumb, so take it as you want.
Woody, there's not even an R in his name, in his first name.
I mean, the N is... R is half of an N. You know that, right?
So when you look, you're not saying that you have a hard time phonetically. You're just saying you can't read.
No, I'm just saying I glanced at it and I didn't finish the word because I'm reading, and I didn't look at the last letter very closely. Have I ever?
I thought I was.
Black names just aren't your cup of tea. It's not. It's okay.
Speaking of cup of tea, that's what he just had.
Any names aren't Woody's cup of tea.
Yeah, I like to communicate through sounds and phonetics.
All right, look, Xavier Howard. What's going on with him, Woody?
Well, he's been the best quarterback in the league the last 2 years. He's been an absolute shutdown beast. But what comes with great success, you get that contract extension a year too early. Not bet on yourself. What we've seen was Dak Prescott specifically. I mean, he pretty much forced Jerry into giving him a contract just by betting on himself. He now has seen a few people, including his teammate, Byron Jones, come over and get a contract bigger than himself for not as impressive a play. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm all for players getting more money. But there's a fine line because Xavier Howard did just sign a pretty substantial contract just a couple years ago. And I get here we are a couple years later and he's outplayed it. But, you know, you can either wait it out, sign some franchise tags if you think you're going to outplay what they're offering you. But I don't know, man. I just feel like it's kind of it's kind of distasteful to sign a big deal and then come back to the table a year or 2 years later and want another one. And again, man, I'm always on the player side. And I get Xavier Howard. They just got Byron Jones in free agency last year. Xavier Howard isn't even the highest paid cornerback on his team. But still.
Well, that's the problem that we're seeing with the NFL. And a lot of people that have a problem with the NBA and guaranteed contracts, this is what a good players association does. Because in football, the money's not guaranteed. So you're encouraged to take it while you can. It's a big risk waiting to take that big deal and betting on yourself. Because Dak Prescott got lucky. He got lucky because he'd already been on the franchise tag a couple seasons. And then Jerry would have looked like an absolute evil scientist if he would have let Dak walk after breaking his ankle, because Dak had already performed on risk on one-year deals already. No free agent would have ever signed with the Cowboys again if Jerry would have done Dak like that. So the man had to pay him. But that's just how the NFL works. That's why I'm so pro-player. The moment that a player becomes useless to an owner, they're gone. The moment they're underperforming, they're gone. That's why get your money while you can. Restructure your contract. Do whatever you like. If he wants to enforce a trade, I don't blame him, because the man should get paid based on being the best corner in the NFL.
I get you, Woody. If a team gets tired of a player and they cut him, he's gone. But you know what the team has to eat? Has to eat dead money.
Not that
has
much,
to eat guaranteed money. So when these guys get cut, not all of them, but the ones we're referring to, the ones like Xavier Howard, if he plays bad, let's say instead of having two amazing years this past 2 years, he had two terrible years. And let's say they cut him this offseason. He still gets a lot of money when he's cut. So, I mean, it works all the way around. It does.
I get it.
But look,
no,
I want to see him get paid. If he wants to hold out, use your leverage, try to get paid. But if they say that they're not going to pay you and they don't plan to, man, come back and ball out, because the Dolphins, man, they got a hell of a team over there, and they're super young. So it would be a shame to, you know, it seems like the stars are aligning a bit, and, you know, Xavier Howard just fell out of alignment. He said, fuck this shit.
Well, what makes their defense so tough is that they have those two cornerbacks that you can put on man coverage. Because when you can leave those two dudes out there on an island, it allows you to get the pass rush, like bring that extra blitzer.
Yeah,
bring that. I think outside of them, what's a good enough corner combo right now that teams can do that? Because that creates an illusion of a better defense than what it is usually. Well, they're not as good as a zone coverage team.
And then the next duo, at least man-to-man corners, I'm looking at the Ravens with Peters and Humphrey. I know we touched on them last week.
And then the Rams with Jalen Ramsey and whoever the hell else you put out there.
Yeah, you know, Miami, they do a really good job at playing man and bringing the extra guy and being multiple and just bringing different looks up front. They went out and got Javon Holland in the draft to play that deep safety. So, like I said, by all accounts, man, the Miami Dolphins are doing it right. The defense is looking strong. It's looking useful. And this is a big blow if he remains held out.
Matt Nagy, Andy Dalton. Matt Nagy came out and said Andy Dalton will be the starter, and Justin Fields is going to have to... Well, he said flat out Justin Fields is not going to be named the starter, and Andy Dalton is. Is this smoke and mirrors until Justin Fields earns it type situation? Got to make him earn him, got to make him earn it. Or is this Matt Nagy coming out and being the bad coach that he is?
I think he's serious about it, and I think he was actually, he was with the Chiefs with the whole Mahomes transition, during the Mahomes transition period
that
during his
sense.
Rookie year. So I feel like maybe they're trying to do it that way. At the same time, you have to consider, though, Dalton's not like that horrendous of a player. He's actually pretty good. So, and he's
been the Mendoza line for quarterbacks for like the last 10 years.
Yeah, so I think it might be a good move, a strategic move. Who knows? Maybe Fields gets on the field a little bit like Tua did a year ago here and there, and you never know. He could just take over at some point if he stands out, or he just goes through the year and develops, and we see him next year.
The Bears fan base, though, is a pretty, pretty raucous fan base. They, I think there's going to be hell to pay. They'd be throwing some soldiers on Soldier Field. if Andy Dalton's marched out there and they start losing, I think it's a wrap. Yeah.
That's true.
My biggest thing with Matt Nagy is, man, you're on the hot seat. You kind of had to, you know, eat your words over the course of the last 2 or 3 years. Why even come out and say something like this? Like, even if you're thinking it and planning it, I have no issue with it. But to say, hey, Andy Dalton's our starter, plan on starting him the entire season, when Justin Fields to wait. Like, if things fall apart week four, then guess what, Matt Nagy? You're going to be in the same predicament you were last year when you was up at the podium and people was asking you all these questions and you look like an idiot, man. Just stop having to eat your words. Like, you don't have to make guarantees to the media. You don't have to tell the media what you're going to do or what your plan is. You can be a little more political about it, you know, when you deliver that type of information. But yeah.
Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson come from the same dummy tree, all right? Like, that tree... Andy Reid is sucking up all the nutrients to that tree, so that fruit is a little non-nutrient filled. You know what I mean? he's dropping off guys. That, if you notice, it's the guys that come in and it's 1 year guys. That's why I think Eric, Bieniemy, is such a slept on person, because now that he's been KC's offensive coordinator for a couple years, that's impressive. With Nagy and Peterson, it was just like 1 year go, 1 year go. Like, and Bieniemy, he's been there for a couple years, couple Super Bowl runs, and he's not getting a look at. That says something. Like, it's just weird. You know what I mean? Nepotism.
Oh, he's due, man. I thought it was due this year. I'm like, what is this all about?
And
like,
seriously. But in groundbreaking positive news for once, the Las Vegas Raiders defensive end, Carl Nassib, during Pride Month, comes out as gay. And you know what? He didn't want to make it a thing. He said he didn't even necessarily feel. What was that?
That was applause.
I was hoping it was applause, but it sounded like a toilet running for a second.
Nah, never. Right.
But no, he came out on his Instagram and he said, I didn't even think I wanted to do this, but he wants to live in a world where it's not necessary to even say this. You just do it. You just live your life. But he said, you know, we're not at a point in that this world, and he wants to make it feel safe for other people to do it. So he just came out and said, hey, guys, I'm gay. That's it. Not going to be talking about it anymore. Good for him, man. I think people should live how they are. Like, the guy's got a proven track record. I think he'll be fine. I don't think it's going to be a big deal at all. I don't think we ever hear about it again.
I mean, the big boy.
The difference between him and Michael Sam is he's already been in the locker room and proved himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's real. No.
But it was pretty funny, though. The photo that they used for Adam Schefter's little article, most sus photo they could have used of him. He's like smacking his lip. I was like, come on. There's a different photo.
Man.
Y'all
could have used. He's a big boy. He's 6'7", 275.
Yeah, no, he's good. He's decent. I think he'll have a few more years in the league at least.
Yeah. Now, look, this is awesome. I think
this is the
Michael
equivalent
Sam,
of John Amici coming out in the NBA.
I think Michael Sam was kind of the martyr for the cause. If you would have asked me how I felt about this back in 2014, my tone was different, and it was different because back in 2014 when Michael Sam came out, I don't think the NFL and NFL locker rooms were necessarily ready for a gay athlete. No matter how bad that sounds, it was obviously the truth. And here we are in 2021, and the moment I heard it, I kind of started shaking my head. Like, I think the NFL is ready now. I think it's okay now. It should have always been okay. But when Michael Sam did it, obviously the NFL blackballed him in a way, because you can't tell me a 6'2", 265-pound pass rusher from the SEC is not good enough to play in the NFL, okay? So
defensive player of the year, SEC.
Exactly. So, I mean, 7 years ago, the NFL wasn't ready. 2021, they are ready, and you know, this is a step in the right direction.
Hopefully. I agree 100%. And I think it's terrible that anyone would ever have to pretend to be anything but what they are.
I would imagine, though, in some of these locker rooms, I wouldn't be surprised if the whole Raiders locker room already knew, just hanging out with the dude or just knowing him and not, hey, we don't care, right? Like, that's you. That's who you are. And
that's my brother.
You know, they're probably accepting of it. And it's not on anybody else to say anything. You know, it's on him to do what he needs to do for himself. I think you'll see a lot of that.
You know, the first thing Gruden said was like, well, I ain't taking you to Hooters.
Actually, Gruden actually did make a statement on this.
I was wondering why he wasn't having a good time at Hooters.
Everyone loves Hooters.
He said, what makes a man different is what makes a man great.
That's a weird way to say
it. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, but man, congrats to Carl and Steve, because I'm sure that was a long, lonely road. Like, college, I bet, wasn't as forgiving as the NFL in locker rooms, just because when you're around young, full of testosterone, there's a lot of ignorance. And, that man, it must have been a giant battle to be able to get where he is today and to feel comfortable with himself. And for that, I am happy for that man, and I hope he continues his NFL career successfully, and I hope others feel comfortable enough to come out and say something. You know, shout out Kerry Rhodes. All right. Well, today, y'all know who Kerry Rhodes is?
No.
Kerry Rhodes was an all-pro safety for the Jets a few years ago that he mysteriously all of a sudden kind of dropped from the league because he was having some drama where he had an assistant that came out and said some things about his sexuality, and Kerry was very in the denial of it when it was quite clear that there was something extra going on. Maybe this to cut research. Out. Yeah.
Notable gay athletes.
Yeah. Okay. You should look up the Kerry Rhodes thing. It was pretty interesting. Like, his assistant was like, well, you look him up. He'd be wearing fur and everything. But he was all pro. Like, he would have been the most prominent athlete to ever come out as gay.
Who would you say is now
the most prominent gay athlete?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I'm looking. It's a lot of them.
I can't even think of any come to mind.
Megan Rapinoe.
Oh, the women's soccer?
There you go, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say she's probably the most prominent.
Probably.
Okay, so
I'm thinking all right,
from the male male side.
Prominent, yeah.
Cuz there hasn't been
Greg Louganis.
John Amici was a big deal when he came out. He played in the NBA like 10 years.
Yeah, I remember John Amici played for Utah Jazz.
I guess.
Bro, there was this dude that was on the... So I used to watch Anchorman in high school a lot with my buddy. And on the unrated version, there was a director's commentary. And we were listening to it on the way to a soccer game once. And this dude on there kept talking about how he was gay in New York. And he had an affair with someone on the Knicks for like 10 years. And we've always tried to figure out who it was. We always wanted to imagine it was Charles Oakley because it's just an angry old gay man.
I feel like it was Allen Houston.
Nah, bro. Allen Houston's like a right-wing conservative speaker now. Yeah, I'd be surprised if it was Allen Houston.
Yeah, those are the ones.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm joking.
They beat the nine.
Before they come cancel my
Welcome to 5-Tool Trivia.
Oh yeah, you guys ready for some mother trivia today? I know, right? So I did some hefty research, and you know, as usual, I go through hella questions, hella research before I really land on one. But without further ado, there have been five instances in NFL history where a single team had three wide receivers individually go over 1,000 yards in a season. Name the two teams and two trios that have done it this century.
I know both.
No. There have been five instances in NFL history where a single team has had three wide receivers individually go over 1,000 yards in a single season. Name the two teams and the two trios that have done it this century. Hey guys, this is your boy CSPN, and you know I love watching and analyzing football. There's nothing that trumps the CSPN eye test, but let's be real, the numbers do matter. If you want to make sure the numbers match your eye test, give our sister site a check at www.footballscout365.com. Football Scout 365 has become my go-to source for situational football scouting and analytics tools. Football Scout 365 offers advanced NFL, NFL draft, and fantasy football analysis to help you take your knowledge of the game to the next level. So head on over to footballscout365.com and join for free today. That's footballscout365.com. And since Woody's so excited and he says he knows both of them, we'll let him go first and then we'll kick it to Nate and then Brandon. Who you got, Woody?
The Indianapolis Colts with Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, Brandon Stokely, and then it was the St. Louis Rams with Isaac Bruce, Tolery Holt, and Azahir Hakim.
Oh, right. And Nate, who do you think it is?
I'll defer to Woody.
All right. And Brandon?
What Woody said.
What he said.
That guy.
All right. So, all of y'all, they get an F because you got 50%.
Oh, was the Rams 1999?
The Rams are actually not on the list, bro.
That shouldn't be. That's not right. That's not right.
That is right.
So
what about they did it twice.
Undermining my research.
No, the Rams did it twice, though. They did CJ. It with Marshall Faulk too.
CJ. So round one, we got one of the teams. Now go back to Woody for the second guess.
No, y'all don't get second guesses. This is
my Denver.
Can I say one? Can I say one that it could have been?
Go ahead.
Could it have been that Patriots team that almost went undefeated?
That would be a good guess, but no.
Oh, all right.
So, was it the Jags? No, although I like that guess, too, because they had Jimmy Smith, and who's the other guy they had?
Keenan McCardell,
thanks. So, the answer is the 2008 Arizona Cardinals. They had Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin.
Steve Breaston.
Nice. Your guy, your UM guy. And then some of the other teams that have done it, in 1995, the Atlanta Falcons did it with Eric Metcalf, Terrence Mathis, and Bert Emanuel, whoever that is. In 89, the Washington football team with Art Monk, Ricky Sanders, and Gary Clark. And then the San Diego Chargers with Kellen Winslow Sr., John Jefferson, and Charlie Joyner. So, yeah, and then Woody, to answer your question about the Rams, with Oz Hakeem, I think Oz Hakeem had 1,000 all-purpose yards because he was a great kick returner, but he never had over 1,000 yards receiving. You feel me?
Yeah, but even then, that season that they had with Marshall Faulk when he had 1,000 yards, I'm just curious.
Apparently they didn't have...
Yeah, no, I'm looking it up. Receiver. No, I believe you. I'm just curious.
I believe you, but I just want to prove you wrong.
Hell yeah.
No, I just want to see what I was thinking of. That's all.
No, it's okay. But yeah, that's the trivia.
That was a good question.
That was a great question. CJ, how do you feel about the disrespect Woody's thrown at you?
Oh, man, you know, it's kind of expected at this point.
Oh, my God.
I don't even get too upset.
I'm your biggest supporter, bro.
You know, it's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes. You know, I got to make sure my bulletproof vest has been checked.
So this week we are going to go into our top 10 overall combined offenses. This is going to bring in rankings of pass offense, run offense, reception, run block, pass block, all put into one giant mixer, scribbled up, and then spit back out you in one big loaf of offense. And so we've been going through every single different category this offseason with rushing, passing, with the offensive lines and for running, run blocking, passing, and
non-binary positions.
And then there's top 10 overall combined offense. And, you know, it's honestly, it's a little bit of a controversial list. Some might say there's a homer up top. Some might say there's some surprising people down at the bottom. But let's start at number 10. The number 10 overall offense. And these are projected rankings, correct, Brandon?
Yeah, this is just what it looks like based on the player grades, just all put together, how you put it, because we went through pass offense, run offense, receiving.
So is this Tennessee Titans adjusted to Julio Jones having them on their offense? Did you?
It actually is.
Okay, so what did that change before? So the first team is the Tennessee Titans sitting at number 10.
They were in the 15th range. They were more in the middle. But again, this is more of a testament to they're going to have a new offensive coordinator. We don't expect things to change offensively for them. So I think that, you know, we're going to see more of the same of what we've seen. And Tannehill has been really, really good, guys. Like, he's not like some, I don't know. There's some people out there that believe he might fall off a little bit, but we've seen him do some pretty good stuff in this offense. So if it remains consistent where it is, sure. Yeah. And then you've got Derrick Henry, obviously. So you've got a hell of an offense there. There's a core. I just want to see how the play calling kind of goes. I mean,
Brandon, initially I didn't like this ranking. Obviously, with most things, after you explain it, I feel a little better. Although it depends on who you are, you might feel a little worse or a little better after Brandon explains something. But me, for the most part, I feel better. I would argue that they could be higher, but after just bringing up, hey, new OC, and, you know, obviously they lost Jonnu Smith. So, I mean, I could see them being 10th. I would respect this ranking right here. I like it.
I don't know. I mean, they lost Jonnu Smith, but they gained Julio Jones. And I have them at 7 on my list.
Yeah, that's not.
I think people are sleeping on the Jonnu Smith loss, though, because he was such a big part of that offense. One, as a red zone target, but two, he was a great blocker. He was blocker.
What do you think Julio Jones is going to do for AJ Brown? Like, they're going to double team both of them?
They can't.
Exactly.
I agree, but Julio Jones isn't a red zone threat. So you did lose your best red zone threat.
He's not a red zone threat currently, but he easily can be.
He's gone his whole career without it.
Yeah. I could see where he could be.
I don't think we're arguing about anything right here. I think we all agree that Tennessee, they're a top 10 offense.
Yeah,
right?
They're a top 10 offense. We're arguing semantics at this point.
Yeah. But position here, there.
I've thought all offseason that they're really going to miss Jonnu Smith, what he did for that offense. He's a big part of that offense. But they like the dude that they had behind him, so.
Right. And they'll be able to replace that production, even if it looked different. They'll be able to replace it, I think.
Now, number 9 on this list, Nate has as high as number 2 on his list. And I honestly lean towards Nate's half, honestly, how great this offense is. The Buffalo Bills ranked at number 9. Obviously, what's dragging them down here is their run offense, right, Brandon?
Yeah, so we just need to see more out of it. I know they brought in Matt Breida. Obviously, they got Zach Moss, Singletary. So there's some good depth in the backfield for them to work with this season. Obviously, the player that's going to drive the offense is going to be Josh Allen, who, you know, he might take another step, obviously, which my belief is this offense could be even more pass heavy, pass first, which is okay. Another thing, though, you know, to consider too is their run blocking grade. Like, their offensive line is pretty good in that category. So run blocking is there. So for them to ascend to where like Nate has them right now, or into the top 5, for example, I think the run game, we got to see something from that. So my confidence level in their run game taking that next step, I think it really leans more on what Zach Moss will be able to do. I think he's the guy ultimately that could step up in that offense, in that backfield.
I think leaning towards a more pass happy offense is not the way to go. I know we're living in this this modern era where it's spread them out. Let's put points on the board. But if we go back and we just look at the past Super Bowl winners, even including Kansas City, it was teams that ran the ball. Like, you have to be able to find a balance. We're going to talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a little later. And statistically, throughout the season, they weren't great. But in the playoffs, they were able to run the – you're going to have to be able to run the ball. So, Buffalo, I love what they have on offense. I think I could – I would be more comfortable with them being a little higher on here. But I get that their Achilles heel is their run game. But they have to find it. That's what's going to take them to the next level. I don't really want to see Josh Allen do more than what he did last year, to be quite honest with you. Like, if he has to – the more one has to do, the higher chances of one getting injured trying to – be Superman. You know what I'm saying? So if we can be traditional, if we can get 4 or 5 yards on first down and Josh Allen don't have to, you know, make so many plays with his legs and do a front flip over the goal line to score, I don't want him to.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, I know CJ's going to have something to say about this, but a player that was added to this Buffalo Bills offense that I am excited to see.
Sanders?
In this offense is Emmanuel Sanders. I think he brings a nice little gadget effect to this offense. We're going to see if some reverses, maybe see him out of the backfield a little bit. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
You love Emmanuel Sanders.
He's one of my favorite players to watch. I love Emmanuel Sanders. He's a fun guy.
My worry with Emmanuel Sanders is, can he run? Like, because he's fast. He's a fast guy. Like, and to do those, like, jet sweeps, like, you have to run really fast, and I just don't know if he can stay healthy running that fast.
That's true. He did have some soft tissue injuries with the Saints last year.
I mean, you look at it, and there's a chance that Sanders, I think he'll be used. I think he'll get plenty of playing time. But, I mean, there's some young receivers in Buffalo. Gabriel Davis. He might be the number two guy in Buffalo outside.
Yeah, you never know. Diggs.
You never know. So.
Yeah.
I just think he's a fun little sprinkle seasoning to add into your rump rows. You know what I mean? Looking at number 7 on the list. Excuse me, number 8 on the list. The Green Bay Packers. And there is an asterisk that says with Rodgers. Now, CJ, you had them as high as number 3. And then Nate, he has them right where Brandon has them at this point. I think they're more down towards where Brandon has them listed. Because, I mean, obviously, I think without a second primary pass catcher, you can only
get
so far.
But that's hilarious. That's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, I know slick.
You ain't slick. You ain't slick at all. Because if you're listening before the show, you was about to hop on Brandon because they were so low. But you must have seen my notes in there.
I literally texted you and said, I see that you said brought up the second wide receiver. You don't check your goddamn text messages.
I don't have a phone, people. If you're listening, I have no text message from Woody at all this morning.
That's a lie.
None.
Sending it to the group chat now.
Man,
again, I think it's
crazy.
I think it does come down to, you know, the offensive line too. Bakhtiari, is he going to be healthy? They could be flipping some guys around on the offensive line, and then if Aaron Rodgers doesn't come back, this offense, I mean, they're out of the top 10 to me. Like. Yep. They're moving.
I mean,
right
even
out.
Even if Aaron Rodgers does come back, like I don't. I mean, yes, they made it to the NFC Championship, but like, and I like AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones. They're just, and I don't necessarily think they're missing a secondary pass catcher, but there's just something about that offense that I don't love, and I can't quite put my finger on it other than like I think that
you said the word love,
right? Jordan Love.
That's it. That's what you can't get past is him being the quarterback.
Well, no, even like I said, even if Aaron Rodgers is there, like Aaron Rodgers is getting up there in age, and if he has to keep running for him his life and David Bakhtiari isn't fully healthy, like
it changes a lot of things.
Changes a lot. He got paid and guess what? He got injured.
Yeah. But
look. This is the thing. I think we would all agree the Packers were a top three offense last year, top 3, top 4 offense last year, right? I mean, that's pretty unanimous. Anyway, look, the point I was trying to make is, look, I think Green Bay was a top two or three offense last year. They averaged 32 points a game. They're probably the most balanced offense. Them and Tennessee can kind of battle for that. But 256 pass yards game, 132 yards on the ground. They had a two-headed attack in the backfield. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Corey Linsley left. Left tackle went down. And then you have the question mark with Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers is there, does that offense regress a bit? Yes. The stats probably look closer to like 30 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. Something like real life, not Madden or game-like. But, I don't know if I would drop him to 8. You know, if Aaron Rodgers is there, Devontae Adams is there, and Aaron Jones is there, you're bringing back your top thrower, your top receiver, right, and your top runner. And I get, it's the ultimate team sport. So
the rookie center, we've had that conversation. If it's Rodgers at quarterback, I'm not as concerned. If it's Love at quarterback, then I am concerned. And then if Bakhtiari, is not there early enough, it kind of hurts him big time because they got to shuffle things around on the offensive line. That's really, I mean, like I said, where it is even with Rodgers in my eyes right now, they could be top five. And this is just the way it shook out, like how the grades came through. And I mean, offensively, the receiver thing, well, who is the other receiver going to, who's it going to be? Devin Funchess?
It's supposed to have been Lazard for the past couple of seasons, but he keeps getting hurt.
Right. And he's been good when he's been healthy, right? I mean,
he's been all
right. Yeah. So he's complimentary. We don't know what Funchess will be like after taking a year off. So we'll see.
More like 2 years off. He was injured the last year.
That's right.
Let's move on to the number 7 slot, which will be the Los Angeles Rams. They brought in Matthew Stafford from the Detroit Lions after his long career with having great offensive coaching, a run game, even having putting up seasons without Calvin Johnson to productive seasons. What do you feel about the Rams offense here, guys? I feel this offense has the most potential to move up the list of any of these guys.
Run the football.
Yep.
Just they're going to be able to do that, I think, at a high level. And then Matthew Stafford's probably just going to be sitting back there living his best life as a quarterback because he's going to – I just feel like he's a really – he's going to be a guy – it might take him 3 or 4 weeks to get used to having as much time as he's probably going to have back there from time to time, you know? Like, he's not used to it. And, I mean, you know, continuity and everything. This is where preseason probably does matter, right, for a guy starting out with a new team. Like to see what it looks like, even if it is for a drive. So
I think the Rams offense, I mean, as you pointed out, you upgrade a quarterback, you get Matt Stafford. They were inconsistent at times running the ball last year. But when you look at how their roster's constructed – and what they like to do, I think that's kind of like that's the cream of the crop right there. They really want to run the ball. They like Cam Akers and Henderson back there. And then you just complement that with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp there in the slot. Me and Brandon had a conversation yesterday about who's Matt Stafford's number one target going to be. Is it going to be Robert Woods or is it going to be Cooper Kupp? I do think one of the things that they might deal with and something that they tried to address in the draft and in free agency is speed on the outside. It's not a lot of that with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. They went and got DeSean Jackson in free agency. If he can stay healthy, he brings a certain level of speed. And then they also went and drafted Tutu Atwell, which I thought was a reach. I think the Rams are a borderline fringe top 10 offense. I think this is a little high. I don't know if I'd put them ahead of Green Bay and Tennessee, but as far as projecting that, I could see the Rams having a hell of an offense this year. So,
yeah. And really, when I look at it, or the way that I view it, is the efficiency of this offense could be so ridiculous. You know, that Stafford
especially won't with the have defense.
He's not going to have to sit back there and throw the ball a million times a game. Yeah.
First time in his career, for sure. Yeah. It's something about Detroit and the Lions just being allergic to being able to run the ball since the Barry Sanders curse.
Yeah. I mean, We'll see how that looks this year. Should be interesting.
Hey, I got it. Right. Never mind. It's off topic. I'm not. I got a trivia question just popped in my head, but it's off topic.
All right. Arizona Cardinals sitting at number six. You have one of the most dynamic players in the league, Kyler Murray, leading this offense with what a lot of people consider the worst play caller in the league, or one of the worst, in Cliff Kingsbury. He's been getting a lot of trash heaped on him the past couple years on his play calling and how it's been holding him back. I was listening to someone this morning who was talking about how did DeAndre Hopkins underperform in that offense. And they were talking about how bad his route tree was and just how simplistic it was. And just it's a waste to have a receiver like that and put him on the route tree that he was on last year. Arizona Cardinals, they let go of Kenyon Drake. He went to the Las Vegas Raiders. They brought in James Conner, but a lot of people feel like Chase Edmonds will take over at the running back position. They brought in all-pro center from the Las Vegas Raiders as well. So what do you say? I love a team that brings in a proven center and how it can bring an offensive line together, Brandon. What do you see from the Cardinals this year?
The offensive line is going to be really good. They're going to be able to – I feel like they're set up on the offensive line to be able to run the football effectively. And, you know, they've got the second rated pass blocking grade. I see the Rodney Hudson deal being the biggest move that they made in the offseason at center. I feel like this is going to be a big year for Kyler Murray. And I like all the additions. You know, I like James Conner being on this team. I like Chase Edmonds being on this team and how they're going to be able to use those two guys. I think this offense has incredible potential. Again, we look at the play calling and we talk about that. I mean, that's where it begins and ends, I think, with this offense. I think all the talent on this team, I mean, it's there, you know. Now it's up to the coaches to get it right. They got to make the playoffs. Right?
This is a make or break year. I know you said you're expecting a big year from Kyler Murray. Well, we better hope so, because if he doesn't have a big year, then Cliff Kingsbury is out of there, right? Yeah. So it kind of goes hand in hand.
You think it's do or die for Cliff here?
Oh, definitely. 100%. Look, you can't come from college. You can't come from being a college coach with the losing record. I mean, to start off, it was kind of a hire that didn't really make much sense, right? So as soon as he was hired, there was pressure on him. And here we are 3 years later. So I think if he doesn't make the playoffs this year, stick a fork in him. He's going back to college football. He'll be the offensive coordinator at Alabama next year.
Yeah, that's true. And then Arizona needs to just go over and get Brian Daboll over with the Bills.
There you go.
There's your guy.
Now, I mean, I don't even have the Cardinals on my top 10. I have the Seahawks at 10 instead of, but if I were to put them, they would be at the bottom of the list.
And that's fair, because of the play calling.
Rondale Moore brings to that offense. He's
I do want to add something to the Rondale Moore thing, and you guys know I would probably do that. You baited me in, but
I did.
Instead of having Fitzgerald out there playing in the slot, and I think I was talking to CJ about this, and I've probably said this before, but there's a stat out there. I don't have it in front of me. They used to run bubble screens with Larry Fitzgerald, for example. He's not a bubble screen guy. Yeah, so. It's Rondale Moore now that's going to be in that position, and now you're not just going to give that up anymore, so that you're putting even more pressure on the defense. So we'll see. You got to know how to use them, and I think that it's set up to work the way Kingsbury wants it to work, but we'll see how it goes.
So sitting at number five, Brandon has the Kansas City Chiefs, who have boosted their offensive line incredibly, brought in two tackles, all-pro guard. And they lost Sammy Watkins. So I don't know how
that's
much
why.
That knocks him.
By their fifth.
But this is the lowest I've ever seen Kansas City listed on a top offensive ranking in the past 5 years.
I'm not doing it based on statistics. They could be number one in statistics all they want to be. But if I'm looking at Kansas City overall, kind of – I feel they're like Buffalo to me, right? Like they've got everything they need offensively, but they need the run. I want the run game, man.
I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire rushed for 1,000 yards as a rookie.
Right. That's great and everything. And I'm, he's not, he's not
a bad offensive line.
Hey, look.
Right. Go for it.
I think, Brandon, I think you're crazy for this, man. Like, I know we ain't got to look at the stats, but guess what? I do the Football Scout 365 ad read, and Kansas City's offense passed CSPN's eye test.
Especially that Super Bowl.
I'm just not confident in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's the thing. Like, I'm just not confident.
And that's legitimate. That's legitimate. But when you have Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill, it negates all of that. And then, as Woody said, you add Orlando Brown, you got Kyle Long coming out of retirement, you go out and get Creed Humphrey. I mean, running backs are the most devalued position for a reason.
But, I mean, at the same time, we're saying that Buffalo – I mean, they don't have a Travis Kelce. Buffalo is a run game away from being a contender. So we can't like the issue with Buffalo is that Josh Allen is the best runner on the offensive side of the ball at any given time. And I think Patrick Mahomes needs a run game to be like if Clyde Edwards-Helaire does exactly what he did last year, they're gonna be fine.
They scheme out of it really well, though. Yeah. Like, when the run game's struggling, they scheme out of it really well. So you do have that. That's the difference between the Cardinals and Kansas City, is you've got a schemer back there who can make, you know, stuff work when it's not working, right? So Andy Reid is the X factor, ultimately, at the end of the day. Patrick Mahomes, the face of the NFL when Tom Brady ever decides to leave. They're like 1A, 1B. Again, you know, they could be number one offensively, statistically. They could. But at the end of the day, like when you get into the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship game, you need that run game. Let's just say in the fourth quarter, who can you lean on? Are we going to be able to count on Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Are we going to be able to count on any of the other running backs on the roster to grind out a drive, right? To get through, to keep the ball out of Brady's hands in the Super Bowl on that final drive, right? Like, I need to burn 5 minutes, right, to lessen the opportunity rate for the opposing team. That's, I mean, it's such a minuscule thing for them to be at number five to me, because ultimately all the teams ahead of them are so damn good too, positionally and everywhere.
I just think your age is showing a little bit. Obviously, you're a bit old school when you love to run game, because the teams that are up here are better equipped and have proven to be better running teams than Kansas City.
With the exception of Tampa. Because Tampa is more...
But don't even say too much, because I'm about to light you up when we get up there.
Okay.
When we get to the top, I got something to say, but you know what I'm saying? But, you know, well, hold on.
No, I got something for you, too.
I know. Maybe not.
I knew I'd take heat for Kansas City, but again, like, I mean... To me, it's like the top five.
They got
all
better.
These offenses are good.
Yeah,
like,
I know, but
it's so damn
this
good.
Whole top five, this top five just needs to be reorganized. It's not a fact that these teams are all in top. They just need some, you know, reshuffling, in my opinion.
I just think that it's weird Kansas City would fall after improving their biggest weakness at an elite, like taking it from bad to like a top five offensive line.
I wouldn't say they're necessarily all the way
them,
in the top five,
I wouldn't
but
put
they're
them
there
in the top five yet.
for the offensive line. They're close.
They could.
The
I think
run
they could
blocking
the
is
five.
The run blocking is going to probably be the biggest improvement. So again, they could just ascend. Ultimately,
yeah.
It's the same thing. So to me, it's kind of hedging a little bit having them at number five. I'm not saying they're a bad offense though. I don't want people to think that.
But they're widely considered probably the best offense in the league.
Yeah, their coach is.
Yeah, but those f***ers don't know what they're talking about. They're just casual fans, right, Brandon?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. It depends on who it is. There's people out there that, you know, that probably say, hey, look, Kansas City, best offense. It's easy to say that. The offensive line, like we said, is going to be much improved. Give me a run game when it matters the most. Finish the game. Get me that first down I need to keep the clock moving in the Super Bowl. That's it. Now, I mean, look, there wasn't a whole lot. I couldn't get them above. Like, I mean, I would have to remove players from the grades. Like,
I will say.
Like, for it to average outright. But if I wanted to change it myself personally and not use the actual grades, then, yeah, sure, I could move them up.
You know, sitting at number four, a team that has never beaten the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs, the Baltimore Ravens with their elite offense, number four.
Yeah, and look, Brandon, before you get into it.
They've only won one playoff game with Lamar, right?
Yeah.
Before you give us all these stats and all these numbers why the Ravens are number four, this is my issue. We've seen the Ravens the last 2 years, and their Achilles heel has not been their defense. It has not been their run game, but it has been their passing attack. But yet you have them at four, whereas I think their offense kind of correlates with where they finish in the playoffs every year. So I feel like they should be somewhere really between 6 to 8. Granted, that run game is probably top two in the league, but the passing game is bottom third.
I feel like this is another Lamar 2018 about to happen. And we're gonna get a little bit more juice from him in the pass game this year. I think they're gonna put more emphasis on that, and they're really going to dedicate themselves to that.
You don't think them losing Orlando Brown is gonna make a big difference?
And are you saying we should draft Lamar Jackson in fantasy?
Yes, you should.
No. Brandon doesn't believe that because he, with the number two pick overall, right behind Pat Mahomes, picked Josh Allen.
Well,
I don't think was a bad pick. I love that.
In Dynasty, I feel good about that because Lamar can be taken out at any moment, even though we discussed how he is able to avoid contact pretty damn well. But anyway, back to that conversation. I do feel like the Ravens, they are their opportunity to ascend this year. And I feel like they've done all the right things that they need to do offensively right now. The offensive line is in a great spot. They've got a better backfield, including Lamar, who's able to run the football as well. J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, that combination. So
you're showing your age so much. Hey, Brandon, at least you support the black quarterback, because what if you don't support the black quarterback? You know how he do.
What? I love the Baltimore offense running the ball. I still need to see Lamar able to throw an out route. Like, that's just what I need to see. I need to see him be able to throw that out to the sideline. No problem.
He can do it.
Downfield.
He can do it. Receivers have a lot to do with that as well. He's got a couple now that.
Well, you got Rondale Moore.
You think Michael Crabtree?
I mean, not Rondale Moore.
Bateman.
Bateman.
Yeah.
Both are first names.
Yeah, you're right.
You did better with my name.
Make that mistake.
The Dallas Cowboys. Sitting there at number third. You know they got a good offense. It's the defense. There's some issues there. But I believe we see the line a lot more healthy this year. They had a lot of injury issues last year. The running back, Zeke, bounced it back. And I think Tony Pollard knows that he can play at a above-average level now, too. So I think that the reps that he got last year, that running game is going to be very, very scary with a 1-2 punch. And then the wide receivers, they got a lot of young elite talent there. And it's just got all the mixes. If Dak Prescott can come back from that ankle injury, no problem. I do not hate this ranking at all.
Yeah, I don't think Dallas, I don't think they have any issues scoring points. What I'm curious to see is how they're going to exactly do it. Because obviously, for the last 5-6 years, that offense has been predicated and built upon that run game, that offensive line, Ezekiel Elliott, and then you bring in Mike McCarthy. And look, we saw Dak throw the ball over 50 times, I believe, every single game last year. But the defense was bad. They were playing from behind. So I'm interested to see that if they stay healthy, what is it going to look like? Because we may get a super productive year out of Ezekiel Elliott, but it might look different. He might have more receiving yards. He may be more efficient, but may have, you know, less rush yards. But as Woody pointed out, you have three horses outside in Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, and Amari Cooper. And then your offensive line, a lot of them banged up last year. They're coming back, Lyle Collins, Tyron Smith, Zach Martin. So there's a foundation there. Like, this should undoubtedly be a top five offense this coming up year.
Yeah, I don't really have to add to that.
Yeah, it's Dak's rehab. Can Dak carry this offense? And the beauty about this offense, though, because they've ran the ball in the past I feel like that'll help him be able, like, if he's not exactly ready to carry the burden of, like, a lot of rollouts or moving around in the pocket, they can lean on the run game.
And Tony Pollard is no slouch either.
Yeah, right, so. Yeah, Tony Pollard is a bad man.
My one question mark has nothing to do with any player personnel. It's Mike McCarthy. That's my one question mark. Like, I don't love Mike McCarthy. And I've seen him and his play calling blow up excellent teams before. So
the man never ran motion with Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback.
Exactly. That I was gonna say, his biggest issue when he was in Green Bay as time, you know, went by was he became a dinosaur, right? And then he took a year off and he got into analytics and this and that. But then I honestly feel like the present day successful coaches, they have a happy median where they say, okay, we're going to go with this. And then sometimes they say, okay, we're going to do what the numbers say. And I think Mike McCarthy still might be learning how to do that a little bit. And that worries me. It does. Yeah,
that worries me on your second trip around, your second big coaching job on a big stage with a young offense that's in its prime. Why waste it on a learning coach? You know what I mean?
Right, for sure.
Cleveland Browns sitting at number two. Now, this one's a little interesting because they're run blocking and pass blocking. If I remember correctly, they were both listed extremely high on Brandon's offensive line ranking list. And they have a great group of young wide receivers, including Odell Beckham Jr. coming back from injury. But the thing that was most interesting about Odell Beckham Jr. adding to this Browns offense, it almost seemed like Baker had too much pressure on him to get Odell the ball in the beginning of the year. Because he was trying to force the ball into windows to OBJ. And I think it caused him just to kind of lose his swag a little bit. Because the first half of the Browns season, he did not look good. He was very off on throwing. Didn't have good vision down the field. But then as soon as OBJ went out, we saw him become one of the most efficient passers in the league statistically. He had one of the better passer ratings the second half of the season. And so I imagine this ranking is based on and predicated off Baker Mayfield maintaining his second half form next year.
This is my theory about that. It has nothing to do with OBJ. And it has a little bit to do with Baker and him forcing OBJ the ball before he got hurt. But I do think after OBJ got hurt, I think Stefanski and the OC staff and then the offensive staff was like, you know what? We can run it real well. Let's simplify this bad boy and let's just run the ball and keep it simple. And I think as the season went on and they continue to have success running the ball week to week, I think they just kind of, I guess, for lack of a better term, they dumped it down. And it was like, all right, this is what we're good at. This is what we're going to do. And look, I think OBJ is the type of receiver. He's so game-breaking. He doesn't have to have 100 catches. He doesn't have to have 90 balls. He can be Stephon Diggs from 2 or 3 years ago when he had, you know, 60, 65 balls for over 1,000 yards. You know, he can be a complementary piece to the run game. And it's just, that's not what we're used to seeing from OBJ, right? We're used to, like, hey, you got OBJ, throw it to him. But at this point, just in that Cleveland offense, he's a complementary piece.
Yeah. And another thing, too, to watch out for this year is Baker Mayfield taking a leap as a player. How much is he going to improve in the pocket is something to keep an eye on. Just the straight drop back game. Not designed rollouts and half field reads and things of that nature that they had him doing a season ago. That's one of the big things that, you know, I'm looking at.
And let's not forget, the Cleveland Browns almost beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs last year. Like it was a close game.
Agreed. And I think there's one thing we can latch onto as well. And CJ brought this up a little bit, but it was Kevin Stefanski's first year as their head coach. This is a brand new offense. So let's hope that OBJ comes back. Everyone's a little bit more on the same page. They kind of keep that more simplified version of that offense going. And I expect to see everyone in that offense take a step forward this year.
Yeah. You know, I think I'm interested to see how Baker plays this year because he's now eligible for a new contract. And I'm still not sold on him. I know everyone else is kind of like, oh, you know, maybe he's turning the corner. Well, we saw him have a great rookie year and regress his sophomore year. So I'm not sold on him yet. And he was, by all means, he's a below average quarterback when he's not using play action, as Brandon alluded to. He's bottom third in the NFL. So if Cleveland struggles to run the ball or if they get down, then it may be reason for concern. Now, I also say this, just I guess in opposition to what I just said, this past postseason, they went down early. Was it against Kansas City? And he kept playing. And obviously, he had to drop back and make some passes. And the offense still looked good, even though they had to play from behind. So he could be turning the corner, but I don't know if I would bet on it yet.
I will say, too, he's a front runner for NFL MVP right now, according to odds, anyway.
Let's look at the number one overall offense. How does Marge Simpson say, homie, Homer. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady. Yeah, Brandon's bastard child.
I like this ranking.
Of course you would.
Of course you would. You are the only person who likes Tom Brady more than Brandon.
Whoa, more? I don't know. I feel like I like him the requisite amount. Like he went in to a franchise, completely transformed the culture, gave them a actual winning mindset. Like Tom Brady, like the effect Tom Brady had on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can't be quantified on what he did throwing the football. Like he changed the entire culture of that locker room, of that team. He made them believe that they are winners. He probably changed the way they look at workouts, at how they're analyzing film. Like legitimately Tom Brady.
Avocado ice cream.
I mean, I don't even want to go into like the physiology and like the diet, but like,
where's the lie? Everything you just said is absolutely 100% true. And
it's just all intangible and we can't measure it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
And Nate, I will give you 100% credit. You picked Tampa Bay to win the Super Bowl last year preseason.
Ten.
You never wavered. You blindly believed in the Brady regimen the whole year. And it paid off. They took it. They
you want to know what the odds were at when I picked that?
What were they?
They were about 5,000. Like bet $100, win 5,000.
Did you bet?
No, because I'm an idiot.
Shut up.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
I know.
Now, the craziest thing about this offense is that they're not only bringing everyone back, their young offensive line has been together for a full year now, so you're going to see them come together more. And, man, I know it's dumb to still even bring his name up, but there's a part of me that still believes that there's something in the tank. O.J. Howard's getting all added to this offense.
Yeah,
like,
he
had a couple. He had showed some flashes.
Woody, I'm in agreement with you on the O.J. Howard take. O.J. Howard went out early, and then basically got Cameron Brate slotted in.
Yep.
But I think the athletic ability, if O.J. Howard and Tom Brady can be on the same page, you look for O.J. Howard to be a very late sleeper in any fantasy football draft.
I feel like he's been that for years.
I know. But for the first time last year, we saw it start to take shape, and then he tore his Achilles tendon, right? So, like, that's my reservation on O.J. Howard coming back from an Achilles tendon tear. That's tough sledding, man.
And the fact that they brought back Antonio Brown, huge for this offense as well.
So look, Tampa Bay, this number one ranked offense is so unwarranted. They're in the top five, yes, but as I said earlier, it should be like reshuffled. Tampa Bay should be closer to five. Kansas City should be at one. Tampa Bay, like for the season, throughout 16 games, they had like the 24th, 25th best rushing attack. The pass offense didn't look phenomenal. And look, No offseason. I get it. We're all going to improve from that. But how do they go from being, you know, bottom half in a lot of these stats, these offensive stats, and then they're number one going in 2021? I think they're the best team.
Look at the back.
I think Tom Brady's the best player.
I think he's the GOAT.
Yep. That loss to the Chiefs opened the door for that. Like, it was like after they got it handed to him by the Chiefs, they didn't lose another game. The run game is going to be even stronger this year for them. This offensive line, like Woody pointed out, young, up and coming. Tristan Wirfs probably going to be one of the best tackles in the league. He's just getting better. And
I agree.
They're going to run the wheels off of Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones, I think, early in the season as they build towards more. And it's all about the play action and that vertical pass game. Tom Brady attempted more deep throws than anybody a season ago. So once they started connecting is when they started winning.
My top five, just off the cuff again, Brandon, I like your top five. I just think it should be reshuffled. Honestly, I would have Baltimore at five, Tampa Bay at four, Cleveland at three, Dallas at two, and Kansas City at one.
I'm not arguing that.
They're all still in the top five. I get it. We're split statistically.
I mean, so one of the things that I want to point out, and Brandon brought this up, like Brandon's saying the loss to Kansas City was the catalyst to that offense, like really looking at that offense. I think if we rewind it three more games and look at the loss to the Saints, watching literally New Orleans come, like they went in and I picked, most people picked Tampa Bay to obliterate the New Orleans Saints because Tom Brady's never lost to a divisional opponent twice in a season ever. He's been playing for 20 years.
That's
right.
That's an incredible stat.
Right.
The AFC East. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah. No, that's true.
I get it. But so you look at that and they didn't get beat. They got destroyed. Now, you look at what happened after that. And yes, they went against a banged up Carolina team. And then they lost two games back to back between against the LA Rams in LA, and they lost to Kansas City Chiefs at home, and they let Tyreek Hill put up nearly 200 yards on them in the first quarter.
Right.
And they kept that game close. Mahomes had to convert on a third and long to put that game out of reach, so Tom Brady didn't get the ball back. And that was where you started to see the Bucs can play football again.
Let's also make no mistake about it. That Super Bowl run was not a thing of beauty. I mean, Tom Brady threw what? Was it three picks versus Green Bay? Threw three picks?
Yeah.
But then Green Bay had a lot of their untimely mistakes. And the same thing with New Orleans.
Well,
New Orleans should have opened that game up in the second half, should have went up by two possessions. And they didn't. So I'm not taking anything away from Tom Brady and his offense. I'm just saying that things did really have to flip their way because Tom Brady and that offense did not look great in the postseason, even after they, quote unquote, turned that corner.
I feel like it always flips Tom's way for some reason, right?
It does, man. He's a god.
I know. There's always something in the playoffs when I'm watching. Like, there's that moment, like you just named a few, where you're like, holy. But that, again, I feel like Nate has said it and I've said it, just his ability to elevate the team overall and their mindset.
For sure.
You know, Tampa Bay from a year ago would have never won a game like that before Brady.
Nope. One thing I'd also like to point out with the Tom Brady effect last year, I compared a lot to the LeBron James effect with the COVID season in the bubble that a lot of people are giving with LeBron James. To have a player like LeBron who knows what it takes to get it done, come in a season where you don't have time for prep, where you don't have time to get to know, to have someone that knows what you have to do to get there in a season where other people can't prep for it. I think Tom Brady had that same effect with the Bucs because he came in and he said, listen, it's the perfect opportunity of y'all can listen to me because I've done it how many times before. This is where we need to be. This is who you need to be for us to win the Super Bowl. And I think, and, you know, this can be kind of too as me being a Brady hater or something, but I think that the rest of the league, with proper preparation, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw the Bucs take a step back on offense next year because of proper game prep, proper time to get rookies involved in defenses and offense. Yeah, it's just I think there's a lot of factors that COVID helped this veteran team. That's all that I'm saying.
Woody, I agree.
Like that perspective.
I see where you're coming from. Like, yeah, I see it 100% where you're coming from. I almost, again, I'm trying not, like, this
don't
might
bet your
my
house
bias,
on it.
Right? Like, I look at it completely opposite direction. Like, Tom Brady's got a full offseason with this team. He's going to, like, this team is going to come out of the gate swinging. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, looking at their schedule, they could very well go 20-0 if they win the Super Bowl.
20-0.
Like, 17-0. Look at their schedule. They have, they literally have, Brady's too old for all that.
I don't know. I wouldn't put it past Tom that this is his last.
This is why. Woody, it's comments like that. This is why Tom Brady is
still. That's true.
But it's football. They had the late start with COVID. Like I said, I think the stars aligned perfectly for a vet like Brady to come in and have a franchise completely trust him. But this year is going to be a little different. There's going to be a crowd. There's going to be proper prep. There's going to be rookies that are going to be much better this year than they were last year.
Away games will be away games.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a different season. That's all. And I don't think there should be an asterisk next to that Super Bowl. It was fun. It was a great run. It was magical. Loved it. Got us through COVID. Same thing with the Lakers. But I told C this. I thought that there were certain players that because of them not having to travel and being able to shoot on the same rim over and over and over again in the same gym, some guys are just repetition guys, and it makes it a lot easier. And remember, they had a home Super Bowl, too. Don't forget that. That was a home crowd.
Yeah, that was huge.
Yeah,
we didn't really talk about that. We really didn't talk about that in any of the episodes.
They traveled to the Chiefs traveled there the day before, I believe.
Did they literally, two days before?
That's huge. There was that's huge. They had to prepare for the Super Bowl, not in that environment.
In that stadium.
Right.
All right, like, guys. Go ahead, Nate. Hurry up. Wrap it up, though.
Go for it. Wrap it up.
Don't wrap it up yet. I got a question just for everybody. All right, we just went over the top 10.
Well, I'm wrapping it up to what you're about to do.
Okay.
So CJ texted me. He said, let's pick an offense that you could see in the top 10 this year. And I like that idea.
I like it.
I'm going to go first, obviously, because I'm a homer. Give me the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, C and I have been having some heavy discussions on whether the Chargers can take a leap with the nepotism offensive coordinator that they brought in, Joe Lombardi. Exactly. There's some question marks there, but maybe Joe learned a thing or two. But looking at this offense from the outside, with the line that they gave to this young quarterback, you got Justin Herbert, obviously, who had one of the greatest rookie years ever. Austin Eckler's finally healthy. Justin Jackson, Joshua Kelly backing up. Then you have Keenan Allen, one of the most underrated wide receiver in the league, Mike Williams. When he's healthy, you could say he's a top five go up and get it player in the NFL. Like, he doesn't run the best routes, but he will go up and get the ball over other people, and that's a valuable person to have in your offense. Jalen Guten had an amazing year last year. They learned how to utilize his speed with Justin Herbert's arm, and he saw a big explosion last year in big plays. And then the fact that they were able to replace Hunter Henry and bring in veteran Jared Cook, and he's going to help with the blocking, running, and be able to get down the seam to catch some balls. I'm really falling in love with this offense, man. The fact that they drafted Rashawn Slater, they brought in Corey Linsley, the all-pro center, and they have Brian Bulaga on the outside, who's a road grader. They got some offensive linemen that can play finally. The team, you know, if Justin Herbert takes another step, where is he going to be? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just love this team. I would not be surprised if they were in the top five offenses next year.
I like that. I'm going to go. That's a great pick. They probably would have been my top pick, Woody, as well. I'm going to go with the New York Giants, your other favorite team. Just what Daniel Jones, I know everyone's kind of skeptical about him, but if you look at his situation and the circumstances he's been drafted to, it's similar to Sam Darnold, except they've gotten Daniel Jones weapons before too late. I believe in the depth on offense, just at receiver. They went out, paid Kenny Golladay. But I don't think Kenny Golladay has to have, you know, a great year, because you have guys like Sterling Shepard, and you drafted Kadarius Toney, and you got Darius Slayton there, who's, you know, speed on the outside.
Speed is special. Speed is special.
And then, I mean, you got Nate Solder, who opted out last year, coming back. Andrew Thomas, their first-round pick last year, another year under his belt. He was forced to play on the left side of the offense last year. Now he get to move to the right side. And then, most importantly, you got Saquon Barkley coming back. And Jason Garrett is so underrated with his ability just to improve an offense. That offense was terrible. Saquon Barkley had negative rushing yards week one. They couldn't run the ball for the first 4, 5, 6 weeks of the season. But as the season went on, the offense got better. It got more efficient, and he was able to overcome a lot of their, discrepancies or shortcomings on offense. By no means were they a high-powered offense, but I did see a lot of promise with Jason Garrett there, you know, as the OC. So I'm going to go with the New York Giants.
And C, you also left out someone that you pointed out to me a couple weeks ago that they brought in that I hadn't even realized that you could put on, like, I look at it as like a Latavius Murray to an Alvin Kamara. Devontae Booker had his best season last year with the Raiders.
Yeah.
The fact that he can come in and back up Saquon Barkley, that was a great sign. I love that signing. Yeah. So that's going to be really interesting. And the thing that I'm kind of drooling over, last year we saw Daniel Jones with wheels. We saw that he was their best running threat.
Yeah, he could be Josh Allen
on the team last year. Well, just on a zone read with Saquon Barkley, you're following Saquon. So he might get a few more of those dashes outside with no one there as the season goes on.
Yeah, don't be surprised if, Brandon, I'm glad you said it. Don't be surprised if Daniel Jones pull a Josh Allen. In our fantasy league last year, I drafted Daniel Jones in like the 12th round, thinking that he might make that jump. He has the type of talent and potential to make that jump. And maybe this year I might use the 12th round pick on him.
Hold on that ball.
Gotta hold on to that ball. They gotta protect him. They got weapons.
I'm picking a quarterback in round two. So
hold on to the ball, and also, you know, finish his runs.
Finish his runs.
Yeah, that's true too. All right, who y'all got? Who your underrated?
Who
offenses?
Wants to go? You going, Nate?
You can take Brennan. I do have.
Man, I'm gonna shoot from the hip here and say the Bengals.
Ooh,
okay. That's a juicy one. I'm gonna take a risk.
I love Jamar Chase in that offense.
And you never take risks, Brandon.
I know. Whoa. This is one offense. I've been looking at him a little bit more. Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Joe Burrow staying healthy. The offensive line, they improved that a little bit. It's not perfect, but they did do some work on the offensive line. And then Joe Mixon. He stays healthy. An entire season of Joe Mixon is a three-down back, somebody who you can hit out of the backfield. He's a guy who's going to elevate as well. But if he can stay healthy for fantasy football people out there, that's a guy you should be targeting, especially if people are passing on him due to health. But again, Jamar Chase, man. Tyler Boyd. I think Boyd has the legitimacy from the slot to be the leader of this offense this year. And I think T. Higgins is going to take that next step. So it's unbelievable that the Bengals have all of this offensive talent, and their defense is probably going to be awful again, which means the offense is going to have to put up numbers.
Brandon, I got something for you about T. Higgins. I think is going to get you excited. I was telling C this the other day. I mean, I say this, T. Higgins is everyone's underrated sleeper in fantasy this year, and all the fantasy groups I'm in on Facebook, literally everyone just sings his praises. But one thing that I read online is that apparently T. Higgins this year, he showed so much promise in his rookie year that the one thing that they knocked him for was his athleticism. He kind of had like a pudgy body, like wasn't the most ripped guy. Apparently he went through what I like to call the Kyle Korver transformation in the offseason. Kyle Korver was always like an average. He was just a shooter. He was a shooter guy that got kick out three-pointers. What he did in one offseason when he turned like late in his career, I think he was like 29, 30, he started doing underwater training here in California, where he actually like would run with rocks underneath the water. And it changed like the twitch muscles in his body to where he could actually run at a faster pace. He was just more athletic. And I've heard T. Higgins has gone underneath a full body transformation this offseason to where he looks absolutely jacked. he's at his peak physical performance condition, and he's ready for greatness. So, like, there's reason for a lot of people to think that he's going to jump out. That wide receiver score court could be very scary.
It's very good.
I want to say one thing. I like the pick. Obviously, Brandon, I think we agree on what Cincy's, what their Achilles heel is going to be on offense, right? So if they're able to protect Joe Burrow, then they will be an amazing offense. If they don't protect Joe Burrow, they'll probably be top 15 still. Let me ask you this, Brandon. Over, under 45 sacks, Joe Burrow, ooh, Cincinnati Bengals. Over, under 45 sacks.
Under.
Okay.
I hope for his sake.
He's super decisive. I think that, yeah, true, right?
I mean, he's going to learn to get rid of the ball in his second year. That's a, he's a good quarterback. Good quarterbacks learn you can't hold on to it that long unless you're Russell Wilson.
It does come down to the play calling, too, and the coach, right?
You got
to
protect him.
Yeah, got it.
The coach has to.
He's your top asset. Taylor,
this is Taylor's, you know, opportunity as a coach, too. Like, this, he's kind of on that. Yeah,
he's on the hot seat.
Thank
he
you.
On yeah. the hot seat. That hot seat is burning. It's
well, that was no, another yeah, thing. That's what I'm saying. That was another thing. That I said defense this in ain't past gonna help. Shows. I said this in past shows. Another thing I liked about Joe Burrow is he's a real deal leader, man. Like, every single person that's ever played with him has sang his praises about how he carries himself on the field. And this offseason, the reason since he landed Riley Reiff and the reason they landed Trey Hendrickson after his career year is because Joe Burrow was there when they met with the free agents. He said, come play with me, man. I'm trying to bring a Super Bowl to Cincy. It, like, they have that quarterback in the room making you believe in something. That's you'd love to hear that. You just love to hear that stuff. Nate, close us out.
All right. I know I'm going to catch for this, but I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings. Hear me out. They have two very great receivers. They've got Dalvin Cook on, in the backfield. They've, if that offensive line can stay upright, keep Kirk Cousins on his feet, I think they have a chance to be a top five offense, or sorry, top 10 offense. We won't talk about how many games they're going to win because that defense is Swiss cheese. But
I mean, they have nowhere to go but up. Last year they were horrendous. True. So I mean, if they get any improved play,
Kirk Cousins,
they just missed the playoffs.
If they're one of the best deep ball teams in the league, and I'm not set, like, it's just some of that is a product of playing from behind. So it's literally just I'm saying that easily they could be a top five offense.
Yeah, they did lose their starting left tackle. That's something to think about.
I know that was one of the
rookie Darisaw.
Oh yeah, they did bring in Darisaw. That's true.
They were pretty efficient last year, as far as the numbers, if I remember correctly. Yeah, I think honestly, if they can open up the offense more, because I feel like they've kind of closed it down a little bit. Just with one, I mean, they're built to run the ball. You got Dalvin Cook back there. You got to hand it to him. And they were great at play action with Stefanski and all of those guys were there. But it's enough talent on this offense where you should be able to open it up. And I feel like at times, at least over the last year, 2 years, they've kind of, you know, shut it down a little bit. And I think that's because of Kirk Cousins. So, I mean, I think ultimately, well, I know we own Kirk Cousins all the time, but he has to take that next step. If he takes that next, and it doesn't have to be a huge step, but if he just can kind of command the team and the offense more, control the game more, the Vikings got a legitimate shot to.
It's which like Kirk said, is going to show up. They started, 1-6 last year? Which Kirk is going to show up? Because they finished strong as hell. Like, they just missed the playoffs with the Bears. Like, it had a lot to do with Dalvin Cook and how well he's running the ball. Dalvin Cook last year was moving the ball, and he missed a couple games. Like, he missed the game for personal reasons. I think he missed one because he had a sore something. But the fact is, like, which Kirk Cousins are you going to get? Because you got the wide receivers. Justin Jefferson, like, I love Justin Jefferson so much. I took him at the top of the second round in a dynasty draft. Like, he's 22, just put up a 1,400-yard season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Nate, it's not a crazy pick. It's just which Kirk is going to show up. And can they give him time?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about which Kirk is going to show up because then that's a whole other conversation. But yeah, no, I think we can save everyone the nails on chalkboard.
Maybe we can get Jared Goff traded over to the Vikings real quick, and then they'll be top 10.
Oh, Nate, you'd be so happy if Kirk Cousins became their quarterback.
We were this close. We were this close to not mentioning Jared Goff. I just want to say, bring that up. It was
every episode. Got to bring up Jared Goff.
We're contractually obligated per Jared Goff's agent to speak about Jared Goff.
We're sponsored by Jared Goff on this podcast. Yeah.
Where is my money? From where I have not gotten a paycheck from Jared Goff's agent. So until that, I'm boycotting him.
It's on the way. It's in the mail.
I'm the one getting paid.
I don't believe it. Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap up our 5 Tool Sports Top 10 Overall Combined Offense Reviews. We got some fun stuff coming up in the next couple weeks that aren't going to be going over off-season stuff. We're going to wait till training camp kicks off till we start diving back into that. So we're going to have a few weeks of something really interesting. We got some games of Would You Rather, maybe Position You. Leave that where it is. Talk about that later. But as always, shout out M. Cash with a fire theme song. And check out our socials. Check out what we're doing. Check out our sister site, Football Scout 365. It'll change the way you play fantasy football. Change the way you bet your money. Change the way you see football with your own two eyes. C's always talking about the eye test. So change your eye test. But yeah. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Felt like a great show. Catch you later.
Ah, man, I'm going on vacation.
See ya. Eye test. I don't know. We're going to have to tell them to ignore offensive rankings, though, because they don't match the eye test.
Hey, you said in the ad that it did.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9 to 5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the queue.